But the point I'm really trying to make is not all of that trivia about calendars, but rather to say that this event, the Hijra, was remembered as a decisive moment, in the history of Muhammad himself and then of the faith which he taught. Now, it's important to say, too, he had been invited to come to Medina by leading citizens of that city, perhaps because they were rivals of Mecca, perhaps because they thought that a great religious teacher like Muhammad might help them to compose some pretty severe problems, some pretty severe rivalries inside their own city itself. There were indeed intense religious and social conflicts in Medina, and it was hoped, you see, that Muhammad might be able to come and bring some measure of peace and order and stability to that troubled city. What then are these teachings? What is it exactly that Muhammad was teaching? Well, we may say, first of all, that we know about his teachings from three sources. From the Quran, which are the scriptures of Islam, we'll come to them in a bit. From the hadith are the sayings of the Prophet. Things that Muhammad himself said. He was thought to be a very holy man. He was thought to be a very good man. And so his followers collected his sayings. And these were collected in a body of material known as the Hadith. And these were also then not held on the same plane as the Quran among followers of Muhammad and Muhammad's teachings, but nevertheless thought to be very significant. And we have collections of these Hadiths. So for us as historians, they are another valuable source. Now, we may just briefly say that although all of the hadith are attributed to Muhammad himself, these are his sayings, these are his wise teachings, we know that the collections of hadith continued to evolve from the early 7th century well into the 9th. And then the collections were more or less frozen. So it's a little difficult for us to say, as historians, concretely, how much of this material actually goes right back to Muhammad himself. Certainly a good deal of it does, but we can't say confidently it all does. Finally, the sunnah. Now, the sunnah is the good practice. That's what that means. And basically, it was Muhammad's practice. In other words, how he lived his life, his basic customs, his basic habits, his basic routines, and so on, were also noted by his contemporaries, were taken down, and also then regarded as important, not as binding, but as important for members of the Islamic community. So, looking back then as historians, we have Quran, Hadith, and Sunnah. Among these, in the Islamic world, and then for those of us who would wish to understand that world, incomparably the most significant is the Quran. Now, the first important thing to remember about the Quran is that it is a body of recitations. That is to say, Muhammad was commanded by the angel to recite the word of God. The word of God was given him, the word of Allah was given him by the angel, and he gave it on to his followers. So, the point quite simply is that Muhammad is not the author of the Quran. Muhammad is not a person who sat down and wrote a book about his ideas about religion. The Quran is understood to be the very word of God himself. Now, in that sense, of course, it bears comparison with the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament as the Christians call it, and with the Christian scriptures, the New Testament as Christians call it. Now, with most of the books of the Hebrew scriptures, and again with the books of the New Testament, the Christian scriptures, although there are controversies here and there about exact identities of authors, we can name the authors of the various books, the great prophetic books, Isaiah, let us say, or the Gospel of John or of Matthew, let us say. But in the Quran, you see, what we have is simply God's word handed to us as it were straight. Muhammad merely transmits it to us. All right, so very important then not to regard the Quran as a book Muhammad wrote, but as the revelation of God which he handed on. All right. Now, as I stressed a moment ago, the hadith are collections of Muhammad's own sayings outside the Quran, things that Muhammad said, sometimes indeed about the Quran, sometimes offering his views, his interpretations, and sometimes just other comments that he had about social or religious or political or other conditions. And then finally, just to repeat once more, the sunnah, the good practice, the fundamental customs of Muhammad himself. And of course, the sunnah then becomes identifying the identifying mark of Sunni Muslims, to this day, the largest number of Muslims in the world, those who hold themselves to follow strictly the good practice of the Prophet himself.